Hi, I'm Dahlia Rose, and this is Kinky Facts You May Not Have Known. This podcast does contain adult content, and it is not suitable for minors, and it's definitely not safe for work. Listener discretion is advised. So, welcome back to Kinky Facts Podcast. I'm Dahlia Rose, and with me this week is my bestie from across the pond, Miss Lou.
Hi! Again.
Hello again. Welcome back. It's lovely to have you again.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, and this week, we are in honor of her 100th birthday. We're going to be discussing the life of Betty White.
God rest her soul.
Yes. Our poor Betty.
Our Betty.
On January 17th, 1922, a bright, vivacious, wonderful sweetheart of a legend was born in Oak Park, Illinois. And sadly, just a few weeks before her 100th birthday, she left this world, leaving us mourning the death of our golden girl.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. But you know what? I was reading somewhere that somebody had the logic of, well, she lived almost 100 years, which means she certainly lived through 17 leap years, which means she technically made it to 100. So I'm going to go with that logic.
Yeah, I like that. I like that theory a lot.
Yes.
So that's just mad, isn't it? What she's seen, like when you look at her history and stuff, it's just mad.
I know. So Betty Marion White was the only child of Christine Tess and Horace White. And when she was just 1 year old, the family moved to Alhambra, California, and later on to Los Angeles. She grew up during the Great Depression and saw her father, who built and sold, when he could, crystal radios, trade those radios for goods the family needed, including pet dogs.
I mean, that's a pretty good deal, isn't it?
It is.
This radio. But could you imagine if that's the only thing you have to trade? Have the dog.
Exactly.
I don't think I could trade Archie, even if I did really want the radio.
Right. Well, it could be that they had a litter of puppies and
true.
You know, trade you radio for a puppy, which explains Betty's love of animals.
Mm-hmm. She really did, didn't she?
She did. She adored animals.
I mean, I read that what she wanted to be when she was older. Could you imagine that? I know you're going to get to that bit, so I won't give it away. She would have been awesome at it.
She would have been. Her first television performance was in 1939, although no one has been able to find or locate footage of it or the name of the show. But of the show, White said, quote, "I danced on an experimental TV show, the first on the West Coast, in downtown Los Angeles. I wore my high school graduation dress, and our Beverly Hills High School student body president, Harry Bennett, and I danced the Merry Widow Waltz."
Ooh, never heard of that waltz. I mean, I'm not the expert on waltzes, but it's not the normal one you hear, is it?
No, I haven't heard of it either, but I don't know. It sounds kind of interesting. So, in addition to her appearance on television, our sweet Betty also dabbled in modeling and worked at the Bliss Hayden Little Theater. And she was on her way to making it in Hollywood when World War II started.
That's, yeah, crazy that she served.
I know. So she, being the all-American legend that we know her to be, put her career on hold to volunteer for the American Women's Voluntary Service. And during that time in the service, she drove PX trucks with military supplies to the Hollywood Hills, participated in events for troops before they were deployed, and basically anything she could help the troops and civilians within her community.
I can imagine her driving a massive truck.
I can too.
It goes to show how badass she was, really, wouldn't it? She did not give a crap. She did not.
Since she was unable to get work in the movies, she decided to try her luck on the radio. Betty started out reading commercials and playing bit parts on radio programs. At the time, she made approximately $5 a show. which doesn't sound like much now, but I'm sure that was quite a bit back then.
Yeah, I can imagine actually, because obviously things would have still been pretty tight, wouldn't it, after the war and things like that.
Right. So she appeared on such radio programs as Blondie, The Great Glider Sleeve, and This Is Your FBI.
See, now I just got visions of Betty White in like full FBI. What?
Right? Briefcase. Badge. Kind of looking like a Men in Black type situation with the sunglasses. So to gain exposure in Hollywood, she did just about anything to get experience and exposure. She would sing on shows or make appearances on local game shows for no pay. And this would eventually pay off for the young starlet as she was offered her own radio show called The Betty White Show. And then in 1949, she made her way to television co-hosting the variety show Hollywood on Television with Al Jarvis. So this is what led her to be nominated for her first Emmy Award in 1951.
She ended up winning quite a few, didn't she?
She did. So when Jarvis left in 1952, it left Betty as the sole host of the show. So it allowed her to showcase her quick wit, as it was usually 5.5 hours on live television, 6 days a week, unscripted.
So she's the kind of person that would just ad lib, though. She's just got that aura, isn't she? She's just... as well, after all the radio shows.
Yeah, she had that quick wit and that sense of humor, and she had lots of time to practice it. Mm-hmm. So after that, in 1952, it was a stellar year for Betty. She co-founded Brandy Productions with George Tibbles and Don Federson, working to create new shows using characters from sketches on Hollywood on Television. This eventually led to the trio developing Betty's first sitcom, Life with Elizabeth. The premise of the show followed the title character, Elizabeth, played by White, and her husband, Alvin, played by Del Moore, who appeared to be an ordinary suburban couple who managed to get into hilarious predicaments.
I'm going to have to look this up. I'm going to have to try and watch some of it.
I know. The description sounded hilarious. And Betty's signature move on this show involved getting her television husband frustrated enough to walk off camera, followed by the show's announcer asking, quote, Elizabeth, aren't you ashamed? would prompt White to slowly nod and then grin and shake her head vigorously to show that she was, in fact, not ashamed.
Good girl.
So, yeah, Betty had some, sounds like, brat tendencies.
Yeah, definitely.
She might be the original brat.
I think she might be. I think you might be right.
So Life with Elizabeth earned Betty her first Primetime Emmy Award, and the sitcom ran from October 1953 to September 1955. This was also a huge achievement for White, as she was one of only a few women in television at the time to have full creative control in front of and behind the camera.
That was big back then as well, wouldn't it?
It was.
I wonder how she wrangled that.
I don't know. She was certainly a trailblazer for her time.
Yeah. She really was.
So during the same time frame, she also did television advertisements and guest starred on The Millionaire. She also produced and hosted a daily talk variety show called The Betty White Show. So this was another Betty White show, like her previous television or radio program. So she was able to hire a female director for the series, and for the first time on an American Network variety show, she featured an African-American tap dancer, Arthur Duncan, as a regular cast member.
I love this because she got so much heat for it, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
So much heat. So much. And she's he stayed.
Yeah. And her response to it is just great. It did stir up quite the controversy, When NBC decided to expand the show nationally, Southern television stations threatened to boycott the show unless Duncan was removed. In good old Betty fashion, her response to these boycotting Southerners was, quote, "I'm sorry, live with it."
Yep.
And she ended giving up Duncan more screen time. So I love how she's like, yeah, you know what? F you. Hey, yep. How about we give you some more screen time just to kind of rub that salt in the wound?
They really don't like you on the show. So here, have some more time.
Yeah. So the show didn't last much longer after that. But good on Betty for standing up for what she believed in.
Absolutely. Not many people would. They let the... I suppose that comes with her having control. She had the power. Because if she didn't have the off-camera control that she had...
Yeah.
She wouldn't have the leeway to say, no, if you don't like it, tough.
Well, right. And especially in that time in the United States with segregation and... all that kind of stuff, you know, it was so easy for people to be like, oh, you don't like that person? Okay, well, we'll just take them off the show.
Yeah.
And she was like, fuck you. He's staying. In fact, let's give him more time on the screen. Yeah. So following the Betty White show and Life with Elizabeth, she appeared on an ABC sitcom called Date with the Angels from 1957 to 1958. So the show was certainly not a good experience for her, and she was quoted as saying, quote, "I can honestly say that that was the only time I have ever wanted to get out of a show."
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out why it was so horrible for her. I don't know if they didn't give her as much creative control or if the script wasn't good. I couldn't figure out why she didn't like it.
Considering but everything else she's done.
Right.
Put her heart and soul into it. So yeah, maybe it was just really bad writing and lack of creative control, maybe.
It could have been. So she was obligated to finish the series through her contract with ABC. So Betty replaced the sitcom with another incarnation of the Betty White show until the end of her contract. So this is now the third current reincarnation of the Betty White show. Which, I mean... it worked for her two other times, so why not try it a third time?
I don't think anyone else has tried a comeback that many times and succeeded.
I don't think so, no.
Because I think Ricky Lake tried it, didn't she?
I think she did.
She tried to come back and it didn't kick off, did it? It didn't.
Well, work. I guess Oprah's tried quite a few times to come back and she's always made it.
Yeah, that's true.
It was during her time... she met a fellow comedian and general fiery redhead badass, Lucille Ball. Yay, I love Lucy. So the two struck up an instant friendship over their accomplishments and frustrations in working in a male-dominated television business. They actually remained good friends who helped each other during their divorces, illnesses, and personal losses throughout their lives.
That's good.
It is.
It's always good to have a badass psychic.
It is, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
We know that all too well.
Oh, yes.
All right. So then throughout the 1960s and 1970s, White became a staple on game shows and talk shows. She appeared on game shows such as Password, Password Plus, What's My Line, To Tell the Truth, I've Got a Secret, Match Game, and Pyramid. And it was while she was working on the show Password that she met and married her third and final husband, Alan Ludden, in 1963.
That's so cute.
I know, and I've watched videos of them together. They really were in love.
Aww.
And I watched one where they were singing on a variety show and... he starts singing to her and you can just see that her like totally gushing over him where she's like, oh my gosh.
Well, there's the famous quote after he passed that I love. Oh, it was asked why she never remarried after him. And she turned around and said, when you've had the best, who needs the rest?
Aww. Yes.
That's adorable.
Yeah. So she was offered an anchor job by NBC for a little breakfast television show. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Today. And she turned it down because she didn't want to move to New York. But the job eventually went to Barbara Walters. Mm. So because Betty White turned that down, Barbara Walters got her start in television.
Meant to be, see?
Yeah. In 1973, the Mary Tyler Moore Show. She played a character. I love this character. She played a character by the name of Sue Ann Nevins. White described her character as, quote, icky sweet, and felt that she was the very definition of passivity. Sue Ann Nevins was a perky star of The Happy Homemaker, a fictional television show in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So basically like a Martha Stewart type character who always had helpful tips and tricks for all occasions.
Oh, I can imagine her being very good at that character.
Right. But there's a flip side to the character.
Oh.
Off screen, the personality of Miss Nevins was the complete opposite. She was man-obsessed and very competitive.
That's awesome.
White described Nevins in the best possible way when reflecting on the role. Quote, of course I love Sue Ann. She was so rotten. You can't get much more rotten than the neighborhood nymphomaniac.
Brilliant. I want that on my tombstone.
Okay. I'll make sure it's on there.
Just for giggles.
Yes. So she didn't have any reason not to love Sue Ann. By playing the role, she earned her second and third Emmy Awards.
Wow. She's piling them up at this point.
She is. After the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Betty once again was offered her own sitcom, this time on CBS. Can you guess what she called it?
I'm going to go with the Betty White Show.
Yes.
I'm so clever.
So this is now the fourth incarnation of the Betty White Show. However, this time the slot that was chosen for the show didn't give it a chance from the get-go.
Oh.
The show was up against Monday Night Football and was canceled after one season.
Darn football.
I know. So she also appeared on the Carol Burnett Show and the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. She still continued to work on game shows and won her fourth Emmy Award for Outstanding Game Show Host in 1983. She was the first woman to do so at that time.
That's impressive.
It is. And she was deemed the first lady of game shows.
Aww.
So from 1983 to 1984, she had a recurring role as Ellen Harper Jackson on Mama's Family, in which she worked with Carol Burnett and one of her future Golden Girls co-stars, Rue McClanahan.
I didn't realize they met so early on. I just thought they met on Golden Girls and that was it.
Yeah, they actually, she did a show with Rue, and then I think she did like a, maybe one where she guest starred on a show with Bea Arthur. Mm-hmm. So they had met each other prior, but I think Golden Girls was where they really kind of, excuse me, built their friendships. So this is the Betty White that my generation has come to know and love. So in 1985, she started working on a little show called The Golden Girls.
That's when I was born, 1985.
That was a year before I was born, but I've seen all the episodes. It's such a lovely show.
It really is. It's what I aspire to be when I'm that age.
I know. Sitting around eating cheesecake.
Yep.
Talking about, dirty sex life, that kind of stuff. So this was actually one of the biggest hits of her career. In this show, if you don't know, for anybody who doesn't know, she played the adorably naive Rose Nyland, who lived in Miami with her three roommates, Blanche Devereaux, played by Rue McClanahan, Dorothy Zbornak, played by Bea Arthur, and Sophia Petrillo, played by Estelle Getty. So it followed the adventures of the four women in their golden years as they faced dating, ageism, sexism, and other issues of the day, including gay rights and immigration.
It's definitely how you literally want to spend your golden years, isn't it? Living with your girls, discussing everything. That's not the best way.
Right? Especially when you have somebody as sassy as Sophia.
Yeah.
Which would lead into crazy, comical, and somewhat irrelevant stories that her roommates would find annoying.
That reminds me of Grandad off Only Fools and Horses. He starts going during the war. They're like, oh god, here we go again.
I know, when I was writing this, I was thinking like of all the times, like I know there was one where she was talking about like a herring circus, and she had a story about Lars and Big Lars and Small Lars, and and then like Dorothy and Blanche would usually be like, and the point is. Very hilarious.
Remembered it.
Very hilarious. If you haven't seen it, you're missing out.
Yeah, gotta go watch it.
Betty wasn't originally supposed to play Rose. She was supposed to play Blanche, since it was very similar to her former character on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Sue Ann Nevins. Mm-hmm. It was Rue McClanahan who was supposed to play the role of Rose. But director Jay Sandrich was the one who suggested the two switch roles. And we were blessed with Betty White as Rose and McClanahan as Blanche.
It does kind of make you wonder whether that show would have been a hit had the director not made that decision.
Right. And, you know, I'm not sure the show, it probably wouldn't have been the same otherwise. So, nice. I mean, it's just the way that they all interacted on the show and their characters was just.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss.
Absolutely.
So the show was very successful from 1985 to 1992. And White won another Emmy for Outstanding Actress in a Comedy Series for the first season and was nominated in the same category throughout the show's run. The show was not all sunshine and rainbows, though. Oh. Bea Arthur was, according to Betty, quote, not fond of me. The two had a strained relationship on and off the set of the show. White went on to explain that, quote, she, Arthur, found me to be a pain in the neck sometimes. It was my positive attitude, and that made B mad for some reason. Sometimes, if I was happy, she'd be furious.
I can imagine, actually, she's going to be one of these bright, bubbly, happy, making jokes, cracking a laugh on and off set.
Right.
And for some people, that would be a lot.
Well, and I could just see Betty knowing that B, Arthur, gets so angry with her the more happy she is that she just kind of goes over the top just to annoy B.
I bet she was a right prankster.
I bet she was.
I bet she was a right prankster.
Yeah. So though the two didn't get along, they did have respect for one another and their respective roles on the show. In fact, when Arthur died in 2009, White said, quote, I knew it would hurt. I just didn't know it would hurt this much.
Aww.
I know.
That's sad.
So sadly, the Golden Girls ended in 1992 when Arthur decided to leave the show. Wanting to keep the momentum of the show going, a spinoff called The Golden Palace was created.
How did I not know that?
Yeah. It only aired for, I think, one season.
Okay. It's always the way with spin-offs, though, isn't it? They never carry on the way.
Yeah. So the show followed Rose, Blanche, and Sophia as they bought and ran a hotel. The show was short. It lived short-lived. It only ran for one season. However, Arthur did reprise her role as Dorothy for a few episodes when she came to the hotel to check on Sophia.
Oh, that's good.
After the success of The Golden Girls, Betty made several guest star appearances on shows such as Suddenly Susan, The Practice, The Bold and the Beautiful, The John Larroquette Show, and Boston Legal. She also continued appearing on late-night talk shows such as The Tonight Show with Jay Leno and The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson.
She just sounds like somebody who, like, everyone always wanted her, no matter what work she was doing at the time, no matter what she'd been in. She was just a reliable, popular guest to have on, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah. Even if she wasn't really doing anything, people were like, yeah, Betty White, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get her on.
Haven't got anyone in Betty. Betty, we need you.
So in 2009, she got a starring role in the movie The Proposal with co-stars Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds. I know, Ryan Reynolds. So both always had great respect for White, with Reynolds making several remarks about having a crush on White and providing hilarious messages for her birthday.
I bet he did, though. He probably did have a massive crush on her.
Who wouldn't? I think I had a massive crush on Betty.
Woman Crush Wednesday.
Yes. And around the same time, she appeared in a Snickers commercial, which aired during the 2010 Super Bowl. You might remember seeing her playing football and getting tackled when someone offers her a Snickers, claiming, "You're not you when you're hungry," causing White to turn into a young man after he eats the Snickers.
I'm not sure if it rings a bell, but I'm not sure if I saw that one or not.
I don't know. You might have to look it up. It also had Abe Vigoda in it for a minute. Like a quick second. So I think she ends up calling the guys like pansies or pussies or something.
I take that. If Betty White called me a pussy, I'd be like, okay. Sorry, Betty.
I'd be like down on my knees, bowing down to her. I'm not worthy. I'm so sorry.
But can I have it in writing?
So then with the success of her Snickers commercial, a grassroots campaign on Facebook called Betty White to host SNL came around. So the campaign worked and White hosted Saturday Night Live on May 8th, 2010.
My birthday!
I know! Isn't that lovely?
Love it.
So she was the oldest person to host the show at the age of 88.
Wow.
In her monologue, she joked that she, quote, didn't know what Facebook. From June 2010 to June 2015, Betty joined the sitcom Hot in Cleveland in the role of Elka Ostrovsky.
That's a mouthful.
I know. It also featured co-stars Valerie Bertinelli as Melanie Hope Moretti, Wendy Malick as Victoria Chase, and Jane Leaves as Rejoila Joy Scroggs.
Last names. Love them.
I know. The show followed three aging women in the entertainment industry in Los Angeles who find a more welcoming home in Cleveland, Ohio. The trio finds a home where a sassy caretaker, Elka Ostrovsky, where she lives in the guest house. So to me, I think I've only seen a few episodes of it, but just that premise kind of sounds like Golden Girls, where Betty took on the role of Sophia.
Yes, definitely. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yes. During that time, as true to her nature, she worked on other shows and movies. She starred in a Hallmark Hall of Fame movie, The Lost Valentine, and even had another show she hosted and produced called Betty White's Off Their Rockers, in which senior citizens would play practical jokes on unsuspecting people.
Ah, so yeah, she was a prankster.
She was.
Oh dear. No one suspects the old people either, do they?
No, no, they don't.
They couldn't do that.
They're so sweet and innocent. And...
her life just blows me away.
I know. So in 2020, when the pandemic hit, White reportedly spent a lot of her time at home to keep herself healthy and to avoid getting COVID. In December 2021, it was announced she would be holding a birthday party for herself, celebrating her 100th birthday party and the release of a documentary-style movie called Betty White, 100 Years Young, A Birthday Celebration. Aww. So the documentary features many of her friends, including Ryan Reynolds, Tina Fey, Robert Redford, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Carol Burnett, Craig Ferguson, Morgan Freeman, Jimmy Kimmel, and many, many more. The pre-filmed production will be going on ahead as scheduled, more likely as a tribute to our sweet Betty.
God, could you imagine not getting asked to be on that documentary? You'd be gutted, wouldn't you?
You must have done something really bad if you pissed off Betty White enough that you're not in her documentary.
You are not coming on my show.
You're not coming to my show, and you are definitely denied entrance to heaven. Okay, yes. If you pissed off Betty White.
Yeah, we don't want to know. If you pissed off Betty, no.
So throughout her life, she earned a total of 5 Primetime Emmy Awards, 2 Daytime Emmy Awards, and 1 Los Angeles Emmy Award. 3 American Comedy Awards, 2 Viewers for Quality Television Awards, and 1 TCA Career Achievement Award from the Television Critics Association. And that's not where it ends.
Of course it doesn't.
No. So she was also inducted into the Television Hall of Fame and has a star on the famous Hollywood Walk of Fame alongside her husband, Alan Ludden.
Oh, best place.
Yes. But... again, that's not where her accolades stop.
Of course it doesn't.
She was the recipient of the Pacific Pioneer Broadcasters Gold Ike Award and the Genie Award for the Alliance for Women in the Media, the American Veterinary Medical Association in 1987 awarded her with a Humane Award for her work with animals, as well as the city of Los Angeles honored her with a bronze plaque near the gorilla exhibit at the Los Angeles Zoo, naming her, quote, ambassador to the animals at the dedication ceremony. So in 2009, her friend, Sandra Bullock, presented her with the award for lifetime achievement from the Screen Actors Guild. The same year, she and her Golden Girls co-stars were awarded the Disney Legends Award. Oh. And
of course, I know, right? Like, who else would get it, you know?
Right. And in 2010, Betty was inducted into the California Hall of Fame, as well as chosen as the Associated Press's Entertainer of the Year. Oh. In January 2010, it continues on. So in January 2010, at the age of 88, one of her childhood dreams finally came true when she was made an honorary forest ranger by the USDA Forest Service.
I love that when I read that she finally was able to be an honorary park ranger.
I know. That just warms my heart.
Park ranger, not power ranger.
Right.
But, oh my gosh, could you imagine Betty White as a Power Ranger?
That would have been fucking awesome.
That would have been so cool.
I'm sure there's somebody out there that can do fan art that depicts Betty as a Power Ranger.
If you're out if you there, do, we need a Betty White Power Ranger.
Yeah, definitely send it to us. I want to see it.
Yes, we do.
So in addition to becoming an honorary forest ranger, she was also awarded an honorary degree by Washington State University. And in 2011 and 2012, she earned 2 more Screen Actors Guild awards for her role as Elka Ostrowski on Hot in Cleveland. In 2018, It just keeps going on and on.
It really does.
So in 2018, the Guinness Book of World Records honored her when she broke the record for female entertainer with the longest television career.
Well, yeah, because technically it started, what did it was 1939?
Mm-hmm.
All the way up till when she passed, really, wasn't it? Well,
yeah. So while for the most part, Betty White had a fabulous career, her personal life was a little rocky from time to time. So she was divorced twice, meeting her first husband, Dick Barker, while she was in the American Women's Voluntary Service. The two divorced as Barker owned a chicken farm and wanted a simpler life after the war. But that was not Betty's style.
No, it was not.
Her second marriage ended in a similar way. Her husband, Lane Allen, wanted a family where Betty wanted a career.
At least they didn't disappear under mysterious circumstances.
Right. And then in 1963, Betty married her third and final husband, Alan Ludden, who, as previously mentioned, she met on the show Password, on which Ludden was the host. The two were reported to have a happy marriage, and Betty became a stepmom to Ludden's three children from a previous marriage. Betty and Alan were married just short of 18 years when he passed away from stomach cancer in June 1981. Mm-hmm. After his death, she decided she would not remarry. Replying to Larry King when he asked her in an interview, quote, "Once you've had the best, who needs the rest?"
Yeah. I love that.
I know. When she was interviewed by James Lipton for Inside the Actors Studio, Lipton asked if heaven existed, what would she like God to say to her when she went there? And she replied, quote, "Come on in, Betty. Here's Alan."
Yeah.
That makes me a little teary-eyed.
He was waiting for her. He'd have been waiting. Everyone would have been waiting.
Oh, yes. So throughout her life, she was also a pet enthusiast and animal welfare advocate. She turned down roles in movies that depicted animal cruelty. And often her love of animals and television crossed paths, especially on episodes of The Golden Girls, where she worked with dogs that made occasional guest spots on the show. ASPCA president and CEO Matt Berkshaker, reflecting on White, said, quote, "Betty White did a lifelong commitment to helping animals in need, including dedicated support for local shelters and animal welfare endeavors, fiercely promoting and protecting animal interests in her entertainment projects, and personally adopting many rescued animals. Betty was a constant and compassionate advocate for vulnerable animals across the country and will be greatly missed."
Have you heard about the, I'm not sure if you've got it, the, you're going to move on to it or not, the sort of mini movement going on her birthday, if everyone donated like $5 to their local animal shelter or animal welfare?
I did. And that's a good thing to bring up because I didn't have that in here. But yeah, I mean, if you can, I mean, I think that's a great tribute to Betty to donate, you know, $5 or even like a bag of food or some treats or something
to carry on her legacy on her 100th birthday.
Exactly. So besides animals, she was also a supporter and advocate for the LGBT community. On the subject of gay marriage, she was quoted as saying, quote, "If a couple has been together all the time, and there are gay relationships that are more solid than some heterosexual ones, I think it's fine if they want to get married. I don't know how people can get so anti-something. Mind your own business, take care of your affairs, and don't worry about other people so much."
Mic drop.
Classic Betty.
Yep.
Fuck you.
It's so true, though.
It is.
It's so true. And I think because of the toils that gay people have gone through to get to the point where they can marry, their relationships are stronger.
I think so too. And I mean, even if they're not, I mean, all marriages end, at least here in the United States, like 50% of marriages end in divorce.
Exactly.
So it's not really hurting anything.
No.
So she said that she also knew that her close friend Liberace was gay, and she sometimes accompanied him to premieres.
Oh.
So sadly, on December 31st, 2001 or 2021, White reportedly died of natural causes at her home in Los Angeles at the age of 99. The news came as a shock to her countless friends and fans, as she appeared to be in good health and was gearing up to celebrate her 100th birthday on January 17th. On January 10th, it was released that she died of a stroke.
Mm-hmm. She'd had a stroke on Christmas Day.
Yes.
And then... Poor baby. Yeah.
So on the subject of death, Betty had a wonderful outlook on the afterlife. In a 2021 interview with Frank Bruni of the New York Times, she said that she had, quote, no fear or dread of death. She also went on to say, quote, my mother had a wonderful approach to death. She always thought of it as, she said, we know we have managed to find out almost everything that exists, but nobody knows what happens at that moment when it's over. It's the one secret that we don't know. So whenever we would lose somebody very close and very dear, she would always say, well, now he knows the secret. And it took the curse off somehow.
That's a really nice way of looking at it.
Isn't it? So now, if you didn't know about that quote, you now know why Ryan Reynolds' tweet honoring Betty is so heartwarming. Reynolds tweeted, quote, the world looks different now. She was great at defying expectations. She managed to grow very old and somehow not old enough. We'll miss you, Betty. Now you know the secret.
Aww.
I know.
Damn you, Reynolds. That made me cry.
I know. Why do you have to be so hot but also make me feel so many emotions?
You're hot and sensitive. Now marry me.
So Betty certainly was a fiery lady that didn't take shit from anyone. She broke barriers in television, and she will never be forgotten.
No.
So rest in peace, our sweet, sweet Betty.
Absolutely.
Yes.
She was a force to be reckoned with. And now, just, I'm going to be like her. I'm going to be more Betty. Be like Betty.
We should.
I'm going to be like Betty.
Instead of WWJD, it should be WWBD.
Yep.
What would Betty do?
What would Betty do? I'm loving that.
I know.
Yep. Might even dye my hair white. Cut it short.
Cut it short and curly and...
I think it'd be a good look.
Start going to those little old lady salons where they put you under the blow dryer for like an hour.
I've always wanted to go on one of them. Did you hear what Betty said was aspired, helped her long life? Vodka and hot dogs.
Oh, heck yes.
She claimed that that was the secret to her long life, was vodka and hot dogs.
Why not?
I love it.
So there we go. That was the life of the badass Betty White.
She really was amazing.
She was, and... Man, I don't know, but I never thought she would die.
No, she's one of those people that you didn't ever think you'd feel like she was immortal.
Right. And I remember back when the pandemic hit in 2020, I was telling my sister, we have to protect Betty White at all costs.
What was it? I said after, when I found out, I was like, where's David Attenborough? We need to find him. We need to protect him.
So, thank you for joining me as my guest this week. I appreciate you joining me on such short notice.
You are very welcome. Thank you for having me back.
You're welcome. And next week, I will be doing my podcast on Alexander Hamilton.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that one.
So, that one,
based on the Founding Fathers and the things that you mentioned about him.
Yes.
In that. I'm very interested about this one. Can't wait.
Yes. And then I'm kind of coming up with my schedule for February, but since in February here in the United States, we celebrate President's Day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do one on dirty presidents.
So. Yeah. Gosh. Like, are you going to be able to like have enough time to fill that segment? Because that's going to be a lot of dirt.
Well, I actually planned it out as a two-parter, so.
Good plan.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So some exciting stuff coming up.
Yes, very. I look forward to it.
Yes, of course. Well, thank you once again, and I will be sure to have you back again, of course.
Thank you.
And I hope that you have a lovely rest of your evening.
And have a lovely day.
Thank you. This has been Kinky Facts You May Not Have Known with Dahlia Rose. If you'd like more kinky facts, please feel free to follow me on Instagram or TikTok at Kinky Facts Podcast. That's all one word. To contact me with kinky facts suggestions, please email me at kinkyfactspodcast@gmail.com. If you liked my podcast, please subscribe to be informed of new weekly episodes, and reviews are also helpful. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you'll come back soon.